We're reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, from the 8th chapter, the talks between the Lord and Ramananda Roy, and there's a whole series of verses, which there are a number on the board, and we'll try and chant those.
Pahile hi ragnaya bhanga bela Anudina badala avadina gela Nasuramana nahame ramani Dunamane manu bhava pisala jani Ehi sakhi sehi sava prema kahine Kanatama kaha bivichura jani Pahile raganayana bhange bela Anudine badala avadina gela Nasuramana nahamaramani Dune mana mana bhava pishala jani Ehi sakhi sehi sab prema kahine Kanatam kaha bivichurala jani
didn't fit on the board.
Na kunjalan dutti na kunjalana dunhu kiri milane majata panchaban aapshubi viraka tumbil duti suparuk prema ki aichanariti.
I'll skip the word for word translation because it becomes very, very long. Translation. Alas, before we met there was an initial attachment between us brought about by an exchange of glances. In this way, attachment evolved. That attachment has gradually grown and there is no limit to it. Now that attachment has become a mature sequence between ourselves. It is not that it is due to Krishna, the enjoyer, nor is it due to me, for I am the enjoyant. It's not like that. This attachment was made possible by mutual meeting. This mutual exchange of attraction is known as Manubhav, or Cupid. Krishna's mind and my mind have merged together. Now, during this time of separation, it's very difficult to explain these loving affairs. My dear friend, though Krishna might have forgotten all these things, you can understand and bring this message to him. But during our first meeting, there was no messenger between us, nor did I request anyone to see him. Indeed, Cupid's five arrows were our via media. Now, during this separation, that attraction has increased to another ecstatic state. My dear friend, please act as a messenger on my behalf, because if one is in love with a beautiful person, this is the consequence. Purport. These verses were originally composed and sung by Ramananda Roy himself. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur suggests that during the time of conjugal enjoyment, the attachment might be compared to Cupid himself. However, during the period of separation, Cupid becomes a messenger of a highly elevated love. This is called prema vilas vivarta. When there is separation, conjugal enjoyment itself acts like a messenger, and that messenger was addressed by Srimati Radharani as a friend. The essence of this transaction is that transcendental loving affairs are as relishable during separation as during conjugal enjoyment. When Srimati Radharani was fully absorbed in love of Krishna, she mistook a black tamalkri for Krishna and embraced it. Such a mistake is called prema vilas vivarta. Om Gyanatangarandasya Ginandana Salakaya Chakshuraminitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Panchatattvamagam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhakta Vataram Bhakta Kyam Namama Bhakti Shaktikam Vanchakalpatrubhyacha Sakripasnubhivacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaisnavevyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We are now discussing in this part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita the most intimate experiences which affect a devotee in the state of love of God. It's very difficult to understand these kind of experiences, and the topic that is described here is the greatest mystery in our entire philosophy. How can we truly understand the loving affairs that exist between Radha and Krishna when we do not have such intense emotional experiences? In our present state of existence, our emotional level has come down to the state of dullness. Right? This is material life. We are only very limited in our emotional expression, actually. And if we compare that to the emotional expression that Srimati Radharani is displaying, it is really such intensity of attachment is unknown to us. We are attached, but when there's trouble involved with our attachment, our attachment decreases very rapidly. Right? And when there's trouble after a while, then our attachment suddenly transformed in becoming very detached. And we give this up, this problem. Right? Even if it was at one stage our beloved, right? We are ready to give up that beloved who has now become a pain, trouble. Right? And we are contemplating seriously some way or other breaking the relationship. But it said that real love is present when even in a relationship everything is unfavorable, it still is never given up. And this is the mood that Srimati Radharani displays. This is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is expressing in the Siksastikam, in the final verse, Asvishyavapadaratam pinastamam adarsanam amatam karutiva yatata vilatata lampatomat prananatas tu seivana para. O my Lord, you can be present before me, or you can make me broken-hearted by not being present before me. But in any condition of life, you are always my worshipful Lord unconditionally. This is the nature of pure devotional service. So in our present state, we are not. We have not realized this unconditional surrender. Right? This is not known to us. Anything that gets too troublesome after a while becomes impossible to maintain. That is our conditioned nature. So it is difficult to approach this subject matter. Then here we find a description about the separation that Srimati Radharani is experiencing. There are these two aspects in the relationship between Radha and Krishna. which are known as Sambhog and Vipralamba, or also Viraha. Vipralamba, Viraha are the terms that are used for separation, and Sambhog is the term that is used for meeting. So in both of these exchanges, it goes beyond anything known in the material world. And therefore, one must approach the pastimes of Radha and Krishna through the philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam to understand that here we're dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that we are not dealing with ordinary love affairs, but that Srimati Radharani is the pleasure potency of the Supreme Lord. In my lecture on Radhastami, I made the point that if the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the ultimate controller and the ultimate enjoyer of everything, and if he is abhigya, all-knowing, that would be inadequate. That would not be sufficient, because it would leave the Supreme Lord with no challenge. No challenge. Everything would be within his realm, within his power, within his knowledge. And therefore, the position of the Supreme Lord would be boring, right? It would just, in the end, become boring. I am the Supreme Lord, seated on my golden throne. I am the Lord of Master, of all that I survey. But where would be the actual ecstasy for the Supreme Personality of Godhead? That ecstasy for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is embodied within Srimati Radharani, because she's not under his control. She's not within the scope of his knowledge. Right? The actual love that Srimati Radharani experiences is beyond anything Krishna ever experienced. Krishna has not experienced that. Therefore, it is said that Krishna came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to take that position in the same consciousness as Srimati Radharani and be in that same spirit of service to understand what it is to feel such intense love of God. Therefore, the personality of Srimati Radharani offers a challenge to Krishna, and offers actually life to Krishna, offers a goal to Krishna. Right? Which is very interesting, because without that, the experience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead would be in one sense more shallow than the experience of the human being. The human being certainly always having the scope of a new challenge. And there is some beauty in that, because the challenge of a new experience is bringing growth. Yeah? And growth, if it is in the higher sense, growth in our happiness. So therefore, within this relationship of with his pleasure potency in the form of Srimati Radharani, the Supreme Lord is experiencing growth. He is experiencing the experience of ever-growing happiness. Right? And in that way, this is the greatest mystery, right? Which is totally unknown in any other theology in the world. Nobody knows about this. Right? You will find many descriptions about the relationship between the Lord and his devotee. But nowhere do we find the description of the dependence of the Supreme Lord on another entity outside himself. The Supreme Lord is independent. He is independent of all. We are never independent. We constantly depend on so many arrangements. We depend on so many things for our survival. We depend on so many external forces for our happiness. From the very moment we take birth, we're totally dependent, and it continues throughout our life. But Krishna is the supreme independent, but yet that is not a satisfying position. Therefore, the Supreme Lord has arranged that although he's the supremely independent, he's yet also dependent on his own pleasure potency. And he has arranged the yoga maya energy to cover his all-knowing potency, so that it is possible that the moods of Srimati Radharani are totally inconceivable to him. Right? How he cannot understand what she is actually doing. Just to facilitate the exchanges of ras, the exchanges of emotional experience. Even in this world, that's what it's all about. To taste ras. Everyone is looking for this ras, for looking for a taste. Right. When there's no taste, how can we keep on doing anything for a while? No taste means ghostly life. No taste means a life where we are denied the ability to taste. But when we are alive, then it means taste, living. Right? This is what it's all about. Songs are sung about this, about tasting life. Everything is about this principle. Yes, even in our material life, we are looking for that. But of course, the taste in the material world is limited, is never satisfying, can never meet our requirement. So, this separation is the emotion described as being even higher than being with Krishna. So this is one of the most difficult points to understand in our philosophy, because in our situation, separation is not higher. It's hellish, and we just are waiting for the meeting, and when the meeting is there, everything is wonderful, and when there's the separation, it's just misery. Just misery. The prince is now not eating. He is just turning more and more skinny and pale and disheveled in his looks, and he is practically, he's just depressed. Maybe will jump off a bridge or something like that. What else is there to do now for him? So here we have a philosophy where separation is described as the topmost experience. So here we go. All that sacrifice we make in Krishna consciousness, right? Four regulated principles, okay, so much sadhana, so many activities. And in the end, right, what do you get? Separation from Krishna. Is this what we really... Is this the most sought after ideal? Right? Gradually we are researching this philosophy, and there it is, right? The real essence of it all. The secret of all secret. The best of all best. Most desirable things is separation. Just die eternally. And Krishna stayed only 11 years in Vrindavan. He stayed 125 years on this planet. 114 years of separation. And only 11 years of being together. So the emphasis definitely seems to be on the separation side in the philosophy. So what about this separation? Is this really what we want? Is there anyone who wants some separation from Krishna? We can provide. We have a nice little bhajan kutir at the North Pole. Home sweet igloo. And there one can be in separation from Sisi Radha Gopinath. Any volunteers to go? Any hot-blooded person who would like to check it out? So, with this with these few sentences, I'm trying to sketch how awkward it feels, actually, this separation. And I'm just trying to not merely deal with the topic and in kind of a analytical, philosophical way, but I'm trying to kind of invoke a little bit of the feeling of like, what is it? Separation. We're after, this is the highest. How can we conceive of this? So therefore we're dealing here with the most mystical aspect of the whole Krishna conscious philosophy, and it's very complex to understand. All that on a Sunday morning, just to ordinary mortals, right, who have somehow or other assembled here in the Belgian hills. So, how do we cope with this? Not only are we being served this intense topic on the menu, it kind of is drops on our plate in the middle of nowhere, instead of going through the whole chapter and gradually building up the mood, you know, of the topic. We go like bang right into the essence of this matter. So therefore I'm trying to preface the whole thing a little bit by getting us somewhere in the mood of approaching the question, how can it be that this separation is considered to be the highest? And if it is, how can we feel attracted to it? How can we actually develop appreciation for that? It's mystical. It's inconceivable, actually. We would say, all right, it's nice, but still, I guess I'd rather have the meeting with Krishna, if it's up to me, if I can choose. In our present conditioned state, it would be only too natural to think like that, that we would prefer the meeting with Krishna. We can see that. We are, even here in the temple, we're relating to the deities like that. We'd rather be up front than in the back. We'd rather be on the altar than, if you can touch the lotus feet of the Lord, we would go. If we would just make an arrangement, anyone can walk up the stairs, touch the feet of Krishna, and then come back down. I don't think there's anyone who would say, I'm not going. Well, is it really all right? Yes, it's all right. Let's go. It says in the Nectar of Devotion that one should touch the lotus feet of the Lord as one of the processes in deity worship. So pujaris are supposed to do that when they're on the altar. This is the nice thing about second initiation. There is an injunction that you have to touch the feet of the Lord. You are forced to do it. Oh boy, what an austerity. That we have to do this. That we have to get so close to Krishna, so intimate to Krishna, we have to touch his feet. Oh boy, what a difficult thing to do. Because separation is our real thing. We don't really like this idea that touching Krishna's feet. No, we'd rather be separated from him. So the more we enter into this, into the contemplation of this vipralamba and this separation, the more confusing it gets, doesn't it? The more it becomes awkward. And what is this? So it is said that, see, in this material world, everything is so gross and cheap. So here, when there is the meeting between lovers, then within no time it's the full embrace, and that's what it's all about, right? The works, right? Right down to the action, right? The main thing. Let's not waste any time. From, you know, acceleration from 0 to 100 in 2 seconds, right? You know. That is the material experience. Very quick and very shallow. And with strong exchanges. But in the spiritual loving exchanges, things are very different. In the spiritual loving exchanges, everything is so meaningful that slight little exchanges are performed again and again and are giving so much satisfaction. It is said, yesterday I was remembering it, that when Srimati Radharani is becoming aware that Krishna has now left her alone, and that she is faced with separation now, then she faints. She doesn't just think, here he goes, and that's it. No, it's so strong. Boom. Falls unconscious. And as she hits the ground, just there on the ground, there is a flower of which the scent reminds her of Krishna, because Krishna wears those flowers in the garland. And therefore, the scent enters her nostrils, and immediately she jumps up off the ground in ecstasy. Right? As she was falling unconscious, just smelling that flower, boom, jumps up in ecstasy. So, again, inconceivable. Inconceivable the intensity of the emotional experience for one who has wakened up, for one whose senses are totally awake instead of dull. So here we have our dull, loving exchanges in the material world.
Yes, I love you and you.
And this is our level of material exchange. And therefore that love is not so strong. I love you today, and tomorrow I love somebody else. Right? Because how deep is the loving experience in this world? Very shallow. So therefore, to fully understand the intensity of the exchanges between Radha and Krishna is only possible for one who himself is capable of deep loving experiences. And prior to that, everything remains philosophy. Right? Philosophy is nice in the sense that through philosophy we can possibly logically understand things that are beyond our experience. But the full experience cannot be had. And therefore it is said, we are in the present state reading something about the exchanges of Radha and Krishna to get an idea of how advanced love of God really is. But at the same time, we cannot experience the intensity of it. It is explained that Srimati Radharani and the other gopis are being, in the evening time, hear the flute being played by Krishna. When Krishna plays his flute, his Venu, Krishna has different flutes, and Venu is a small flute with 9 holes. And it is said that this flute is then attracting the gopis. The flute is calling. And they leave everything and meet Krishna in the dead of night. It is described that Krishna will, in Bhagavatam it is described that Krishna then says, what are you young girls doing in the forest so alone at night? Don't you know the forest is a very dangerous place? And shouldn't you be at home? What will your parents say? What will your husband say? Aren't you, isn't it inappropriate for a young girl to be out alone in the forest in the night? Shouldn't you stay home? So here, they've given up everything. They left home at the call of his flute, dropped their babies, left the milk on the stove, which is boiling over, didn't care about what anybody said, just left, gave up all social restriction, and are told, you know, what are you doing here? And they're being sent back. So it's understandable that they were totally bewildered, totally shocked by Krishna's behavior. And he just kept on, no matter what they said, he persistently kept on saying that they should go back. Anyway, they decided not to go. No way. Right? Although Krishna's persistent refusal to accept them caused again separation. So even within the exchanges of meeting, there is separation. There is Even when Radha and Krishna meet, there is separation, a more subtle level of separation, which comes about in the relationship itself, and which is also brought in again and again. So this whole element is brought in of separation again and again, to churn the ras, to increase the emotional exchange that exists. Now, in one sense, to bring it down to our level, I don't want to stay this entire lecture on the exchanges between Radha and Krishna per se, but we can also apply the dealings between Radha and Krishna to our own life. Because we can see how we are lacking, in our intensity, in our desire to be Krishna conscious. We don't want to be as much Krishna conscious as Srimati Radharani wants to be. She wants to be always Krishna conscious, even to the point where she doesn't want to sleep, because in sleep one forgets, and she may just one time not dream about Krishna, although that's almost inconceivable. The risk is there, therefore she better not sleep. Right? In our case, right, we never dream of Krishna, and if by chance we do, it's something we write an article about, my dream with Krishna, right? You know, it's posted all over the place, it's like something to tell your grandchildren, I had a dream of Krishna. Wow, right? How often does it happen, right? When was your last dream about Krishna? And even if we dream of Krishna, it's not such a deep dream of Krishna. Right? We dream of Krishna, but we are not so involved in our dream either. We are not so emotionally involved in real life. Oh, Jai, Radha Gopinath, Jai. We are not fainting. We are not about to jump on the altar to embrace Lord Jagannath. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had the same intensity of devotion as Srimati Radharani, wanted to embrace the deities, jump on the altar, right? Not in a premeditated way, okay, I'm going to jump on the altar and embrace Jagannath now to show my devotion. No, it just, he became overwhelmed, and something happened to him that was stronger than him. And somehow or other, then an even stronger emotion hit him, right, of ecstasy, and he fell unconscious on the ground. When he came to his senses, he realized that he was being overwhelmed by emotions of intense attraction for Lord Jagannath, which were not favorable for the service of Lord Jagannath. He realized that I will, in my ecstasy which comes over me without my control, jump on the altar and knock the deities right off the altar. And therefore, I will never again go near the altar. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never again went near the altar. Therefore, I will from now on, for the rest of my life, stand in the back of the temple near the Garuda Stamba, so that this thing cannot happen. Not thinking, oh, I was in front of Lord Jagannath and then my emotions came out so strong that I was overwhelmed in my devotion. I was getting it, the higher experience. Well, let me try that again, yeah, see if it comes again. No, not indulging in this emotional experience, but rather seeing, oh no, this was not favorable to the Supreme Lord. I will never go near the Lord again. What a thing, right? From now on, I'll never take a close-up darshan again. Could we handle it? I don't know. So, can one understand what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went through in that remote darshan? Again, an even more intense experience than being close up. Because again, separation. Huh? Feeling that distance, he was feeling that distance very much. And it said he was feeling the distance of separation so much that many tears came from his eyes. So many that there was a gutter there near that that pillar, and it just filled up with his tears. And it's just like a stream running down. I mean, inconceivable. So here we are discussing very intimate topics, which are really only meant for the practicing devotees, which are describing an emotional involvement which is way beyond anything we know. But still, we can also appreciate something. We can also appreciate that there is in our life also attraction to Krishna, feeling a sense of being with Krishna, of getting the mercy of Krishna or his devotee, and being in separation. We also go through these experiences in our life, although to a lesser extent, but the same sequence is there. We are also experiencing that Krishna is not there. Sometimes in your Krishna consciousness you feel very close to Krishna. Very close. And you really feel very inspired and you feel totally Krishna conscious and you just feel really deeply inspired and transcendental. And other times Krishna feels so difficult to reach. And suddenly we're so far from Krishna and it's not happening. And we are going through these peaks up and down again. And when we're so far from Krishna, then Maya is so close. Maya is so, so near. And Krishna is so far. And although we're still Krishna conscious, we go through these sequences of emotional experience. Sometimes the philosophy has not changed. We have the same philosophical understanding that we had gained, whatever that may have been. We've penetrated into the philosophy and we know everything. But sometimes we feel very close to Krishna, and other times the same understanding, but we feel very far from Krishna, and Maya is very near. And we feel the pressure. And now what to do? Now will I be able to maintain, control these senses? Now that Krishna seems so far and Maya seems so near, now what do I do? In this moment, now what do I do? Oh yes, I know everything about Krishna consciousness, but now my determination to follow it is so much less because Krishna feels to be so far away and Maya so close. Now what do I do? Yes, these are critical moments that we are facing. All of us. And these are moments where everyone feels close to falling down. Yeah. Close. The fall down's near. We know. We're now on the edge. And if I'm not careful now, I might just slip right over. And you feel the power that pulls at you of a great depth. There is a pulling effect, everybody knows it, to stand high in a mountain. You can see in the Himalayas, you see local people who just stand on the edge of the big drop, the 1 kilometer drop, with their back to the edge, right? They just stand there having a conversation with someone else. Right? I get very nervous if I'm about 1 meter away from the edge, right? I feel like an invisible force. And strings pulling at me like, and I think, what if I would, I even start thinking, what if I would lose my balance? What if I would trip now over a little rock, you know? What if I would walk and there would be a little rock and I would just lose my balance 1 meter away from the side and I'm all tense, I'm walking like, I have that experience that I climbed mountains in the Himalayas and at night, we came high, and it was a very high mountain. We did not reach the top, not by far. Right? And we came on, there was a ledge, and the ledge was about a meter wide. Maybe a little more, 1.5 maybe. And, we sat on there, and it got dark. So my friend, he just lied down on his back and started to snore. Me, on the contrary, right, I noticed that the ground was not flat at all, and that it was sloping downwards. And in my mind I was thinking, what if I roll in my sleep? Huh? What if I roll over in my sleep and then fall out of bed? I never fall out of bed, right? I never fall out of bed. But that night I was really thinking, what if I fall out of bed? This particular night, it's not even a flip. And I didn't sleep at all. I just didn't sleep. I sat up. I didn't even lie down. I sat up, leaning against the wall a bit. I might have dozed for a few minutes. Wide awake again. I didn't sleep. And the next day we had to climb again on that mountain. So very intense. So, when we get so close to the drop, we feel the power of Maya is pulling at us. So what do we do at that stage? And one feels very weak. And sometimes devotees at that stage, in full knowledge of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and being fully attracted, appreciating the beauty of the deities and of Krishna, are still suddenly finding themselves very close to Maya and fall down. Fall down. So how to save ourselves at that time? This is my question that I want to present here. And so when we have come to this point, it must be an impetus to make an increased effort. That is actually the meaning of it. The meaning of it is that at that stage, when we feel far from Krishna, then we have to make a tremendous effort to somehow or other attract Krishna. That is the only thing that will save us. An intense effort is what will save us at that point. So at that point, rather than thinking, than letting go and feeling weak and a little dizzy in the stomach, here is the big, here is Maya. What am I going to do now? No. Instead of that, we are meant to turn around and make an increased endeavor to attract Krishna. Because then Krishna will come near again. Yeah, that's the way. So we have to conquer Krishna. So the separation is actually an impetus to intensely try and regain the favor of Krishna. It is the favor of Krishna when Krishna is close to us. Krishna is never close to us when the gopis were in the rasa dance and were for a moment contemplating, oh, now Krishna is close to us. How nice. Gone he was. And Srimati Radharani was so close to Krishna that he even took her with him. Right? And they left together from the residence. And then she starts thinking, oh, how close am I? Oh, Krishna, I cannot walk anymore. Oh, can you carry me? Yes. Whoop, gone. Right? So she too had to pay that price. Pay that price of conquering Krishna. So Krishna can never ever be taken for granted. So when we come to that point of being far away from Krishna, then we have to turn around and do everything, make a special endeavor at that time to conquer Krishna again. So this is one of the difficult things to learn in Krishna consciousness. And we may fall over the cliff a few times, right? Fortunately, just like in a cartoon, when one falls off a cliff, one lands, splash, and sinks deep into the ground, and then crawls back out over the edge. Here we are. So we get another chance, right? We get another chance, even if we fall off the cliff. We get another chance. But it's difficult, huh? To crawl out of that hole, and you know, but we see in the cartoon usually the person then gets really fired up again, runs back up the slope, right? It may not be as easy as that, It may be a long struggle to get back up and then to go beyond and to get serious. So before the fall down, we should get serious. Not after, but before. And we should again, we should increase the quality of our chanting. And that's what it means. The tenth offense against the holy name, it is also an offense to be inattentive while chanting the holy name. To not be inattentive, but to really chant that. To increase the quality, improve the quality. As soon as we feel a little bit separation from Krishna, Krishna is not fully satisfied. A little bit of separation. Krishna wants more now. Krishna, for whatever reason, he wants more surrender. That is the signal. Separation is the signal from Krishna. Time for you to make more of an endeavor. That is what it is, the separation. Try harder. But I'm already trying so hard. Harder. Right?
But I can't. Yeah.
Sorry. We have to then. So it takes time in Krishna consciousness to grow up and go beyond the childish level. Where we just, I can't, mommy, I can't, it's so high. So we have to grow up in spiritual life. So this takes practice. It takes some time to grow up. But once we grow up, then we have to. We learn the art of how we can actually, once again, come closer to Krishna and attract Krishna by this, by taking very serious to the process. So, when we're not so inspired, then we have to read. Say, yeah, but when I'm not so inspired, I'm not inspired to read. I know. Tell me all about it. I know, I have a mind. I have senses, but then there's the intelligence, and the intelligence just said, shut up, mind, right? And the intelligence just puts on boots, and just stomps on the senses and says, get lost, you senses, right? I am boss here. You do what I say, okay? Yes, sir, Mr. Intelligence. Excuse me. The senses bow down again and behave. Oh no, we'll be sweet. Please don't kick us like this. Yes. Then we will be able, by intelligence, to apply ourselves. I gotta read the Bhagavatam. Even if the first few pages do not inspire us. Even if the first day. No. I did it. I tried it. It didn't work. I tried it. I followed your advice, I tried it. It didn't work. I read, Didn't feel inspired at all. I still felt very far from Krishna. And then, you said just stick it. Just stick it. Stick at it. Okay, I did. For a whole week. Every day. I read for 2 hours Bhagavatam. Didn't feel a bit of inspiration. Yes. I tried it. A whole week. For years I've tried it. For years I read every day and chanted my rounds and I still feel very far from Krishna. Totally separated. I think I'm gonna jump now, right, off the cliff. And Maya, here I come. No way. No. It has to be done with quality, not mechanical. Right? Still not good enough to even just do it for years. No, now improve the quality. Now still the endeavor is not enough. You have not satisfied Krishna. Don't lament. It doesn't work. It does work, the process, but if somehow or other we don't feel close to Krishna, it means we have not attracted him enough. We have not conquered him by our service. That's all it means. Try a little more. Try a little better. Put in a little more effort. Put in better quality. put in more energy,
then it will come.
If you don't hold back your energy, it means, admit it, that you didn't give it your full energy.
Well, I guess.
Yeah, it's not easy to give it your full energy. Yes, I know, but that's what Krishna wants. Full energy. When full energy is given, immediately, there is inspiration, and Krishna is very close. This is the real secret of this separation element in Krishna consciousness. That always, again and again, we have to conquer Krishna and can never ever think, now I have Krishna. Never ever. Okay, I'll stop now. Any questions, any comments? Very high topic, what can I do? You are organizing these things.
Within the US daily practice,
in the last three sentences, what? A little more loud, I cannot hear you properly. You're not speaking any louder. You just repeat yourself, but you have to put up the volume about 1.5 times. I'm sorry.
There was that Srimata Radharani made a mistake, something like that. I didn't understand three sentences of scripture. Really wondering what
you meant. Oh. Yes. It is true, there's a mistake. When Srimata Radharani was fully absorbed in love of Krishna, she mistook a black tamal tree for Krishna. A black tamal tree for Krishna and embraced it. Such a mistake is called prema vilas vivarta. So, prema means love for Krishna, vilas means the pleasure pastime, and vivarta means the illusion. It means to mistake one thing for another. Prema vilas vivarta. So, although she was in separation from Krishna, she was not, because she had the black tamal tree, and she was seeing Krishna there. And experience total union with Krishna just there by embracing that black tamal tree. It was as good as being with Krishna, being with the black tamal tree. The same intense emotional experience was there. Just how amazing. So she wasn't even thinking, I'm separated from Krishna here, and okay, at least I comfort myself by embracing a black tamal tree because it reminds me of Krishna, so it makes me feel a little better embracing this black tamal tree, right? And hanging on the black tamal tree, feeling like I wish I had Krishna instead of this tree. No, at that point, the experience of embracing that black tamal tree was so overpowering that it reminded her so much of Krishna. She was just totally gone in that remembrance with Krishna. So this is how it works. This separation leads to remembering Krishna so intensely, then all separation is gone. Again, very high stuff, way beyond our emotional level of experience. We would just hang on the tree and say, it's a nice tree, but I don't. We do not have such deep responses to anything that reminds us of Krishna. Yeah. Even after all that, all this discussion and all this explanation, we will still not be able to understand it fully. Maybe philosophically, but emotionally, not possible. Therefore, not fully. What to do? Therefore, we are not spending too much time, generally speaking, with this part of the philosophy. We understand it, but we're not going to make it our daily business meditating on this point, although it's the highest. But it's so high. It's like, if you're at the bottom of the ladder, you can meditate on the top rung of the ladder, but it's a bit far to really see what's happening there. So better meditate on the next one, on the next step, the next rung of the ladder, and grab that and then go up until one gets there to the top Because when you get closer, then you notice a little better. If you climb a tree and you have to, you say, well, how will I climb when I get up top there? How will it be? Don't worry about it, just start climbing. And when you get up, you will see how the branches are and you'll find much more detail on how to climb. Okay. Any other comment, question? Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.